It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 319 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, it's the return of Jonathan Lewis, one of my favorite comics writers, who has a wonderful book that is being Kickstartered right now. And I kind of got things backwards a little when we were talking about it. He's doing very well, which I'm always happy to hear. And he's got some great things coming for Blue Shift, another female character that's really strong and got incredible powers that doesn't necessarily mean her life goes the way that she would like it to. We explore her character and we come into some other characters that are around her and some great things that are going on in that and what we might see in the future, as well as other things that this universe has in store for us, some big events that are coming that Jonathan gives us a little taste of and things that we can look forward to. As always, Jonathan has great things to say and interesting things about comics to share with us, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show.
Even when you live your life at super speed, some things go by quicker than you want. I'm Blue Shift, a speedster. I'm probably the fastest person on the planet, but even I am not always fast enough. This is my story.
It's always great to talk with Jonathan Lewis, the creator of Penumbra, and with another book that's out that I really enjoyed called Blue Shift. How are you doing today, Jonathan?
Oh, fantastic, Wayne. So great to get to talk to you again.
Yeah, I've got to, of course, talk with you about Blue Shift right off the bat, because right now you're in the middle of a Kickstarter, which is a great way to support these comics. Your Penumbra, which you did before, we did that as well, so it's good to talk about Blue Shift. Why don't you give us the basic description of Blue Shift?
Blue Shift is, well, where Penumbra was a comic focused on someone who could generate anything out of shadows, Blue Shift is more about a speedster, a Flash, or a Quicksilver kind of a character.
Okay. Because as I read the book that you sent me, there's a really interesting little part in here. It says, Beth is the fastest person on the planet, but that doesn't mean she always has it easy. Life can travel too fast even for speedsters. It's hard not to be late when you're trying to save people all the time. Her personal life seems to be one rejection after another, but at least her life as a superhero, Blue Shift, is going relatively well. And it says, well, mostly underneath it. Now, again, you're doing a strong female character, which I think you always do superbly well. So talk about her. What is different about Blue Shift than, say, Penumbra?
Oh, whereas Penumbra is always very self-assured, self-satisfied, very happy with her life, Blue Shift, or Beth as her friends call her, is a little more human in that she doesn't know where she's going, but she could sure get there in a hurry if she just had a direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that, because it's something that definitely is something I face in my life, is I always seem to be running around and putting out fires and then trying to find the time I need to spend with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I enjoyed having reflected in Blue Shift, because it was something that had been repeated to me over and over again by other people.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is it called Blue Shift?
Oh, trick of the light. It's actually a scientific term. Mm. If you can make something go fast enough, the further you approach the speed of light, you'll actually shift colors into the ultraviolet or a blue shift.
Oh, okay. Now I got a kick out of that, because now I got to ask, because, you know, Spider-Man, some people say it's Spider-Man. Sometimes, and I see some places it's Blue Space Shift or Blue Hyphen Shift. Which one is it?
I spell it Blue Space Shift.
Okay.
The creator spells it Blue Hyphen Shift.
Okay.
And I think, as far as, like, the bank is concerned, they do it Blue Hyphen Shift.
Okay. So we probably better stick to that just to make sure the money goes to the right place. The time comes. Now, let's talk about the Kickstarter before we get too deep into the story. The Kickstarter is going to end, as I see it, in mid-March, which isn't far away now. So as far as this kind of thing goes, because after your successful Kickstarters with Penumbra, are you more comfortable doing Kickstarters these days?
I am. It's also a really good test on if the audience is really going to like something or respond to it. Mm-hmm. As fun as it is just to write whatever pops in my head, it's also good to know what people want to buy.
Mm-hmm. Great, great, which is good stuff. Now, and I get a kick. It's just, there's a subtitle in this that I didn't see until I got to the Kickstarter. It's called Blue Shift : Frenemies. Separating friends from enemies is hard enough, but when the city's at stake, even speedsters don't always have the time they need. Talk to me about that. Why call it frenemies?
It was actually something you said. I don't remember if it was on a podcast or maybe something you and I said separately outside of a podcast. You had said that you wanted enemies that were just as much a character as heroes. Mm-hmm. Well, from a writing standpoint, you have to make the villain then just as lovable and just as interesting as the hero. Mm-hmm. So I had to sit there and figure out how to make them, you know, the two characters, if you go to the Kickstarter, it's the blondes on either side of her, just as lovable as her. And I couldn't do that without making the ever-friendly Beth friends with the two villains.
Mm-hmm. Now, Beth's last name is Sanders. And I'm always curious when people create characters like this, are you creating them to be somebody that you, is based on someone you know, or is this just your imagination going to work?
Beth Sanders is a combination of two different names that I knew. There was a Mrs. Sanders that she was almost my adoptive mother in many, many ways. Mm-hmm. And then I've had at least five different women in my life named Beth that definitely what I put into how Blue Shift talks, the way she'll just ramble to herself before acting comes from them.
Mm-hmm. And what I like about it, the way you describe her on the Kickstarter page, it says she has a difficult enough time trying to find time during the day to work her three part-time jobs, let alone finding new friends in a new city. Fortunately, she is empowered with super speed, so she just might manage it. Are these from people that you know, too? Are there some people who just manage to be able to juggle all these kinds of things all at the same time? Or is this why she's a speedster? That's, I guess, the second question is, why is she a speedster as opposed to, say, somebody can fly or something like that?
Let's see. I had a friend who the three jobs actually came from her. Mm. She was actually one of our artists. Mm-hmm. She was also working two different delivery jobs. And so the two delivery companies didn't know that she worked for both of them, but they had buildings on the same block. So she'd run to one, pick up all her orders, run to the other, pick up all her orders, map it all out. And then as she was going from place to place at every stoplight, she would stop and draw. And just the unbelievable amount of speed, and not just speed, but being able to keep track of what you're doing and where you're going, always amazed me. So it was something that I folded up into Blue Shift.
Interesting, interesting. Now, talk to me about speedsters. I mean, is there something appealing about speedsters that made you want to make Blue Shift this kind of a fast character?
Yes. Many, many years ago, I was working for a company, and they had a particular character that I submitted scripts to try and write for him, because he was such a fun guy, and that was his big thing, is he was a speedster.
Hmm. Okay, you don't want to say who by any chance?
I would love to, but these beautiful things called NDAs say I can't.
Okay, all right, we'll worry about that another time then. Now, I've got to say, too, one of the things about Beth's costume is particularly interesting, because on the cover, she's got what looks to be blue hair. And then she's got her outfit is like different parts of the, like there's, I don't know how to describe it. It's got like a blue, he's got these little blue segments as well. And then she's also got purple parts as well, mm-hmm. which I find interesting. Did you come up with the design for that, or was there somebody else that came up with the costume design?
Her original creator, as far as her power set and the superhero name of Blue Shift, came up with a lot of the character designs. And then the artist, given the origin of the name Blue Shift, came up with the fact that the lines would be blue or purple or whatever, depending on how fast she was going on that panel. Mm-hmm. There's one panel where she's actually stepping out of a bank vault, mm-hmm. and she's not using any super speed. And if you look at it, she has no blue lines on her whatsoever.
Mm. Okay.
Same thing with her hair. Her hair is either black or gray or blue, depending on how fast she's moving at that moment.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, that's kind of a different change. See, the thing that makes this stand out to me is the fact that speedsters tend to be red or yellow that I know of. Now, of course, Quicksilver is the odd one out over at Marvel. He tends to be green or blue. So yep. maybe Quicksilver is more the inspiration than, say, the Flash is as far as appearance goes. But I really like it. Now, you didn't mention the name of the person who came up with the costume and the hair color and all that stuff. Is that the person you're writing with, Ed Jowett, is that the other guy?
Yep, he's the creator.
Okay, I wondered about that because I saw the last time when you did Penumbra, I thought you did most of the writing on that one. But this one, I saw Ed's name on there. And I wondered whether he had something to do with that.
He created the character of Blue Shift herself, and then I fleshed her out into a full-fledged character, more on the Beth side than the Blue Shift side. Mm-hmm. And then I co-created the twins with him. I did the female twin. He did the male twin.
Okay.
And then Kosh, who you meet briefly in the comic, is entirely my creation. And, of course, the script and writing is all mine. His final approval and notes, of course, and then back to me to finish it up.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you've brought up a couple of characters we should delve into at this point. The twins, who are called on the website Shira and Daniel, and they're called the Teleport Twins. Mm-hmm. Didn't have the best home life when their father threw Shira out. Daniel wasn't going to leave his sister out in the cold alone. Together, they have the ability to transport things from Shira's hands into Daniel's. And they use this to do everything from passing notes to pulling off bank heists all the time. So that's kind of a different use of teleportation. How did you guys come up with that?
Well, I wanted a character that had a really unique power set, and it was very selective and it was very limited. Because something that was pointed out to me is the most powerful characters tend not to be the characters with the best power sets, but the characters that use them the most cleverly. It's not what you got, it's how you use it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And these two had a very unique power set in that anything that Shira got a hold of could appear in Daniel's hands, mm-hmm. but not vice versa. It was a one-way trip.
Hmm. That's interesting. Why do that?
I just wanted to make them as limited as I possibly could, and yet still have them be a pair of people that could throw down with, well, like you said, somebody on the Flash or the Quicksilver's power scale.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool. Because we've seen teleporters as well over time. So, you know, mm-hmm. speedsters and teleporters are always sort of against each other. Because they're trying to get something done or go someplace within a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. And so I found it interesting to go and follow how these things worked out. Now, this is where the frenemies things come in. Because as I read the comic and I read the thing you sent me, it was like 13 pages and has lots of good stuff going on in there. What fascinated me was the fact that, let's just say, they're not really enemies as much as they're frenemies. And, of course, frenemies are people who may be opposed to each other and who may not in different circumstances, hence the word. And I'm kind of curious as to whether, you know, the use of the frenemies, stuff like that, because I've got 13 pages, and I imagine you've got several issues in mind for this story. So talk to me a little bit about that. You're setting things up really interestingly at the, and I don't want to give away anything at the end of the very first issue, but let's just say that they do not leave as really bad guys or opponents to each other. There are things that happen that are kind of actually interesting because I've never seen this in a comic before where we've got frenemies. Let's just use that phrase. So, I mean, I think it's a really creative thing that you've come up with here. So talk about going this route in a comic because, you know, usually it's the bad guys and the good guys and that's about it. But to see this go a very different path was something I really liked.
Something that I remember reading a long time ago, and you know, I would have to go through my back issues to even find out what hero or villain it was, but it was just a two- or three-page story to end off another comic, and it had a villain who had gotten out of jail, couldn't get a job, and realized that basically the only thing he could do was put on the suit again and become a villain. And instead, the hero shows up in his gear, and he sees him and realizes what he's about to do. And in 90% of the comics, or even 99% of the comics that you're ever going to read, that starts a throwdown, right?
Right.
Instead, the hero took off his costume, walked up to him as just a civilian that the other guy wouldn't even know, and said, "Hey, man, your gear is really imaginative, really intelligent." Pulls a card out of his pocket and says, "Here, call these guys in the morning. I know they'll give you a job as a designer." And it's one of those things that, you know, it's been at least 20 years since I've read the comic. I can't even remember the hero and the villain anymore, but I can remember every panel and the look on everybody's face as these two characters talk to each other. And I loved that. And I kind of turned it on its head for this particular comic of, I don't want to give it away, but who is helping who kind of shifts around.
Which is really great. I love the fact that you go places that I don't expect you to go, which to me is always a big, wonderful turn of events, because, you know, I've read comics for a long time, and I got to be honest with you, I don't get surprised very often, but this surprised me. I like the fact when you get to the very end of the book and it doesn't end the way I thought it was going to. I like that quite a lot. I thought that, but you did that with Penumbra too, so I really think that you have a penchant for doing these kind of surprises.
That is my favorite thing to do, is always give the person who's reading something to read. And then when you get to the end, see if you can make them go back to the beginning and start over.
Which is a great
idea. I succeed at it sometimes better than others, but...
Well, I thought something you said to me privately, and I thought was really interesting, I thought worth bringing up, was the fact that you were really proud of this one. You know, because I thought Penumbra was a great book. And what is it about this book that makes you proud of a Blue Shift?
I wanted to write a character that was... She was outside of my personal experience. You know, I've never been anything that she is. You know, of course, neither of us ever been a speedster, I think, unless you have something secret to tell me, Wayne.
Nope. Good luck on that.
I've never been blonde. I've never been female. I've never been a number of things that she is. So I had to talk to a lot of my friends that are all those things. Including my daughter, who's her own variety of speedster. And, you know, really balance out, okay, how do I write this character and how do I make her a living, breathing person? And then I hit the same thing with She-Ra, she's her own unique thing, and I had to talk to people that share a lot of similar facts with her to get her right, too.
You know, you remind me of something because I was... we were doing a... panel on the Wonder Woman movie, but all the women in the group that I was a part of, they didn't want to do that. They wanted to go into a Next Generation panel. They didn't want to talk about Wonder Woman. So my brother and I did it because, you know, we always liked Wonder Woman, thought it was a great character. And all of a sudden, we're just getting started, and the lady in the back raises her hand and says, "Why are there only men on this panel?" And I said, "Well, the women wanted to go off and do the Next Generation panel, so we, you know, it was this or nothing." So we thought we liked the character well enough that we could do it. But, you know, I've seen that kind of reaction a lot of the time. And that's why I'm glad you went that route to understand the characters from that point of view. I worry sometimes that
we sometimes draw or create women who are masculine to some degree, because we don't quite get the female character and what goes on with that. Was that an eye-opening experience for you, or did you, because you've got, you know, you're part of a family and stuff like that, you're probably not as, it may not have been such an education as it might have been for someone like me, who doesn't have that, but what was that like for you, I mean, to go and explore the female characteristics? I mean, you know, obviously drawn to it to have a family, but what else about it attracted you or made you want to go that route?
If you're not learning something new about yourself, about people, about humanity, as you're writing a story and you're not growing as a person, as a writer, then your characters aren't going to grow either. It's something I try and bring to every story.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons I think your females, you know, are vibrant to me, because I see them doing things like, in the very beginning of the comic, we see the main character going to meet somebody at a restaurant. And I got a kick out of it because it didn't quite turn out the way I thought it was going to. It went a different direction, and I liked that about that. I thought it was a very open thing to do, because there were several possibilities, and I don't know why I landed on the one that I did, but I got a big kick out of the fact that when things get done, she's also kind of surprised at how things go, which is a good thing. I sometimes think that we as guys are very predictable in what we expect to happen. When guys get together, we all sit around and tell the same old bad jokes and do all kinds of stuff like that. But when women get together, it seems to me like a much more open-ended kind of a thing. It's much less predictable to me. And maybe that's one of the reasons why guys and girls are drawn to each other so much, is because there are these differences. Did you find that to be the case when you were writing this? When you were talking, especially in the beginning of the book, when you're establishing the character, was it fun to kind of have her go places that guys probably wouldn't go?
Yeah. It was a lot of, and it was a lot of fun to show off to other people too, and get their responses and reactions out of it.
Okay, now the question I got to ask, of course, now we've got the first issue, which I've got to know, it's 13 pages in the draft you sent to me. Is that going to be in every issue of Blue Shift? Is it going to be 13 pages?
No, we actually just hit the $800 stretch goal, so it's got extra pages now.
Oh, cool. So I've only seen the beginning, the first 13.
Yes. The other, I want to say the other two or three have already been drawn up.
Okay.
And I need to sit down and put some words to the panels, of course, because I'm also the letterer on all this.
Right.
But the comic has actually been written all the way out to 22 pages, because I'm really hoping that we hit the $1,200 stretch goal.
Oh, cool. Okay, so that'll be good stuff. Now, as far as that goes, that's the first issue. Do you have in mind how many issues are going to be in Blue Shift?
Yes, there is going to be at least two more, depending on how you count it. There's something that's coming up in the Empowered Universe that Blue Shift and Penumbra and our other comic titles like Lacuna all share this universe, and something's coming. People are cropping up with powers that you wouldn't think would have powers. Well, you've read the comics. You've met Kosh. You know, he doesn't strike you as the big superpowered villain, does he?
Which was, again, something I'd found unpredictable, which I liked about that. So I think that I'm always just fascinated as to where you're going to go, because I'm not entirely certain. You know, we didn't talk about Kosh yet. Why don't we talk a little bit about him? Talk about his abilities and what kinds of things that he can do.
He could throw lightning on a scale that would make Thor jealous. The problem is he can't scale it back down. It's entirely based around his emotions, specifically how afraid he is. So the more scared he is, the more powerful the lightning bolt he tosses at you is. I wrote him around the character idea of if you had a villain that said sorry.
That's different because you don't get many villains who say they're sorry.
Yeah. I really like that concept of someone who it couldn't hang on to it, you know? I mean, literally couldn't hang on to the lightning. Mm-hmm. And the things that it must have cost him in his life to be like that. Mm-hmm. And of course it leads a real person with that kind of power would reach a point in their life where they were just yelling sorry even for touching a doorknob.
Do we know how his origin story or how he came to be?
I'll touch on it real briefly if we can get to the second half. The part two of this issue one. Mm-hmm. But he's involved with the twins. He's kind of their leader in that he gets them jobs and such things. But why he is the way he is and more background story on him isn't going to come unless we can grow the comic bigger.
Okay. How big do you want the comic to be?
Oh, ideally, I have it written in my head up to 6 issues of 2 different 3-issue story arcs for her.
Okay. Now, 6 issues, are you going to, at that point, would you make a trade out of it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, now, of course, you work for Shades of Vengeance, too, and you handle the comics area, but you're also involved in the video game aspects of things, as I remember correctly. Talk about, is there a chance that Blue Shift might end up in a video game?
Oh, they're actually tabletop role-playing games, so...
Oh, sorry.
No worries.
I forgot about that.
Yes, there's actually several stories centered around her. She shows up in the main campaign if you buy the Empowered book, which I believe it's Kickstarter's running too. I could be wrong about that, though.
Wow.
Oh, Ed's going to kill me. Oh, he's going to kill me that I can't remember that.
Well, now, of course, I got to ask. You've got Penumbra. You've got other characters, Blue Shift. This just makes me think of a team-up comic. Are we going to somewhere see some of these characters cross over into, say, like an Avengers-style comic?
Oh, yes. Something is coming for the world of the Empowered, and it's going to take... everybody, heroes, villains, and people like Penumbra that are a bit in between to face that thing down.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we're talking, a little ahead of time, as I mentioned, the goal needs to be reached by Friday, March 16th at 5:13 in Eastern Daylight Time. Mm-hmm. And as we're talking, you're about, a quarter of the way there. Something like that. Yeah, you're about a quarter of the way there, and of course you've still got a couple of weeks to go, which is a good thing. So you're building momentum as you're getting there.
Other way around, we are 450% over.
Oh, okay. I didn't read that quite right. Is it okay? Yeah, it says you have a $200 goal, but you're already up to about $900.
Yeah.
So I got that backwards. Oh man, well that's good. So things are doing real well.
Yeah.
So that's why you're very confident as a Kickstarter guy. You're already ahead of the game.
Oh, yeah. It's so nice to know that the work's been paid for before you get too excited about the next project.
So let's get into the stuff you were mentioning about that you were hoping to get more of the extra benefits going along. What stretch goals have you already met?
The first one was... it's not a stretch goal, but just to be funded is really amazing. Because when you and I were talking about Penumbra, oh man, we cut that sucker close. Mm. But this time we hit it in the first 6 hours, I want to say.
Wow, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Well, something about Blue Shift's really speaking to people. I'm really happy about that.
Very cool. Now, as I'm looking down the page, you've got at $400, you're going to get a wallpaper.
And that one's already been unlocked, of course.
Mm-hmm. And then we get extra pages. That's what you'll be just talking about for me. The $800 will add extra pages to the digital version of the comic. Now, you've got another goal that you're after, and that's going to be $1,200, and that's going to be, like, doubled. The length of the comic will be doubled for the digital and the physical versions.
Yep.
So you're getting close to there. Well, of course... things will probably change by the time we're recording when this comes out on Sunday morning. But you're about $900. That means that you're only about $300 away from that. Wow, that's pretty good.
And I'm so looking forward to that. I'd really love to show the puppet master that's been pulling the strings during this adventure, making sure that Blue Shift and the twins meet each other, made sure that Kosh knew the twins at all. I can't wait to show this one off.
Well, it's a great fun story, I have to say. I really like the characters. As usual, you make very vibrant, living characters that I really like to learn more about as we go through. And the way that the first 13 pages ends really intrigues me as to what we're going to see in the future pages. So I don't want to spoil anything or anything like that, but let's just say that you've already piqued my interest as to what's going to happen in the next several pages.
I try.
It's very good. It's very good. I like that very much. So as far as the title goes, in the very first issue is going to be called what we were talking about, Blue Shift Frenemies. Is that how the first issue is going to be called?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So and you're talking about you may have up to six issues. Is each one going to have like a subtitle, Blue Shift colon something?
Yep. In fact, if I can get a second issue out of this. Because then, you know, if we hit the $1,200 stretch goal, then, maybe we can shoot for issue two. The second one would be Blue Shift Black and White.
Okay, that'll be interesting. Because as we stand now, it's 16 days, but by the time this comes up, you'll be, let's see, on the 4th, you'll be 6, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, about 11 days to go. Roughly. Mm-hmm. So, boy, that's pretty good. Yeah, I bet you are breathing a sigh of relief, because they always talk about these Kickstarters being, you know, daily heart attacks. You have to wonder, now what's going to happen? Now what's going to happen? Is anybody going to donate today? But you've done pretty good. You're getting good at this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, it helps to have a really great character to play off of, too.
Mm-hmm. So, let's find out what other stuff you're working on. I'm sure this is going to keep you busy for a while. But are there other projects besides Blue Shift that we can look forward to seeing from you in the near future?
Yes. I actually have a science fiction comic called The Bug War that's based around the idea of a James Bond in space kind of a thing. A character known as a Spectre or Shade, depending on which version of English you're after, British or American. Oh, Ed's going to kill me on that one, because I'm pretty sure he calls them specters, is tasked with finding out about this alien race that they had first contact with, and it went horribly. Everybody died. And so that started a war, but the human side has no idea about what makes the other side, the bugs, tick. And so he is sent off to understand them and figure them out. But as he's doing it, he starts to kind of fall in love with these guys. And, you know, the more you understand somebody, the more you love them.
A very Doctor Who concept. Very true. Very true. So that's good. So any idea as to when we might start seeing that come out?
Well, the first part of Bug War 2, the first 10 or 11 pages have already come out. And then I've just put the finishing touches on pages 11 through 22. And send them off to the artist to be done, and he should have those ready by, I want to say, May.
Okay. Very cool. Now, as far as, of course, you by then, this Kickstarter will be completed. Are you going to run another Kickstarter for the Bug War, or what's going to happen with that?
Actually, I have two different projects that are going to occur between it and Bug War.
Okay.
One of them is... Well, it's kind of a secret, but you and I talked about it the last time I was on your show, around the concept of one person can keep a secret, two people can keep a secret because one of them will kill the other, but once you hit three people, it gets interesting. And it's a story based around three people that have to make a decision and what happens. That one's going to come out, and then... I kind of actually hinted at it on this podcast, but something's coming for the world of the Empowered.
Right.
And it's going to be revealed, I believe, sometime in April.
Okay. Comic? Is that going to be a table game? Or is it going to be both? How's that going to work?
Both. It actually shows up in the tabletop game, but I'm going to do a comic so that I can have Penumbra and Blue Shift and Lacuna and all the other awesome characters that exist in this universe show up with each other.
Hmm. Very cool. So that crossover may yet happen. That sounds good. I like the sound of that. Because when I see your characters, they always breathe to me. I don't just feel like it's just, you know, two-dimensional. They always used to say back in the early days of Justice League of America that Batman and Wonder Woman would always be, like, interactive or interchangeable. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that that was kind of a sad thing because, you know, I liked the fact that they were friends. But, you know, the way that you're doing them, each one is a very different person from each other. Even the two twins are very different from each other, which
yep.
I like.
Based on four different sets of twins that I actually personally know, and I send it to them. I go, is this how you guys act? And they go, yeah.
Because I don't know if you know, but I'm one of a pair of identical twins.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I could have sent it to you.
Yeah, I'm one of a pair of identical twins, and we are, you know, we're very opposite from each other. Instead of saying we're always going to be the same, Randy's favorite color is red, mine is blue, and all these different things. We're very different from each other. We're not very similar in that way, which is always good. I always think that it's better that way. We get to be our own selves rather than something else. So that's when I saw the twins. I'm always interested in twins because some people look at twins and go, I don't understand that. I don't understand. I had one quick story. I had a teacher when I was in college who was beaten up by a pair of twins when he was young. So whenever he saw twins, he always tried to challenge them to like a boxing match. And I told the guy who was the head of the PE department, I said, not a chance. There's no way I'm going to try to box you. So it was just kind of funny. But it's when I see twins, I think twins are mysterious to people because they don't understand what twins go through. They don't. It's when people ask me, what's it like to be an identical twin? I have to tell me what it's like not to be. I don't know that. So that's kind of when I look at the twins here, I kind of have, in some senses, feel a relationship to them or an understanding of them because of that.
Something that I wanted to capture, and you'll have to tell me how right I got it, is something one of the sets of twins told me was the thing about twins is they are two people that have known each other at least 9 months longer than they've known anyone else on Earth, even their own mother.
That's true.
And no matter what you do with them, that is always going to be part of their personality.
That's true. The weirdest thing that can happen to a twin is when one is lost. Mm-hmm. There were two actors that were out in California in Los Angeles, and one of them was killed in an auto accident. And it took the other one a couple of years to recover from that. So I don't know whether that's something that might you might want to use in the future with your twins, but
just wait and see if I can get these next couple pages made.
Okay, all right, because I have to say that when I saw that, I felt for this guy because I don't know what it would be like without my twin, to be frank.
Yeah.
So it's going to be something really interesting. But, of course, you tend to do very realistic characters. So no matter where you go with them, I'm sure they're going to be fun and interesting to read about. So very good stuff. Very good stuff. So, okay.
Thank you.
So paper and when is the let's start with the digital version. When is the digital version going to be available of the whole book of Blue Shift Frenemies?
It's actually done already. Well, with the exception of the extra couple of pages I now have to tack on.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be sent out as soon as the Kickstarter is finished.
Wow, that's accomplishment.
Because I can letter pages in a matter of hours.
Wow.
So three pages wouldn't, you know, three or four pages. I want to make sure that if it only becomes these extra couple of pages, mm-hmm. that the story ends at a spot that's satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Cool.
Because as fun as it would be to tell people, oh, we're going to add five pages or six pages, if it ends the story in a dead spot, mm-hmm. I didn't do anybody a service.
Right.
Especially not the characters.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Very good. Okay, that's the digital version. What about the paper version? Of course, you have to go through the press and everything like that. Any idea when the paper version might show up?
paper version, we're probably looking at sometime in the summer. I'm going to say July.
Okay. Okay. Now, I don't remember if you do much in the way of conventions. Do you do convention appearances and stuff like that? Because oftentimes that's the way to get the paper copies of books, is to catch up with somebody at a con. Do you do that very much?
Oh, yes. In fact, if anybody that's listening to you is going to be at MCM London here at the end of May, beginning of June, you're going to get a first run edition of, actually any of these comics, but specifically a Blue Shift, because we're going to be selling it there first, ahead of anywhere else, any comic shop, anything. You'll be able to get it there first.
Cool.
Well, with the exception of the Kickstarter people, they of course will get their printed copies first.
Right, right. Now, of course, that's the first one. You said there was likelihood of six issues. Is there going to be like a time difference between them? Like, let's say Frenemies comes out, then the second one is you're going to be working on. Are they going to do another Kickstarter to fund that, or I guess it's going to depend on how this one goes at this point, isn't it?
Hey, you know, if this one goes well enough, then, you know, maybe the next two issues are funded. Maybe the next three. Maybe the whole, you know, next two storylines are funded.
Oh, man, people are going to be jealous of you because, boy, that doesn't happen very often with Kickstarters.
I had my first Kickstarter ever was with an artist friend of mine, and we hit four issues. And this was 3 or 4 years ago, and we are still trying to get those four issues done. I'm sure we're on some list of, Kickstarters that faded. I'm like, no, we are still writing that one. This one, thankfully, it's already written, and the art is, you know, we had the art already done for the next couple of pages the moment we saw that we were getting close to that goal.
Cool.
I learned my lesson after that first time. Have the art done before the end of the Kickstarter.
Yep. Always a good idea. Always a really good idea. Well, man, you know, Jonathan, you're just doing such a fantastic job. I was kind of worried about you at the beginning, but I'm glad I had everything backwards. So you're doing really terrific, and Blue Shift is a great comic, great fun, just like Penumbra, that I really liked. So I can't wait to see what you're going to do in the future. We'll have to talk again when more stuff starts to percolate, because you always have some really interesting subjects and characters and things going on, so I always appreciate that, Jonathan.
Oh, thank you so much, Wayne. I can't tell you how long I've been listening to you, and have you say that to me is really amazing to me.
Well, it's great fun. I love the way you do stuff, and I think it's, as somebody who's read comics for decades, to read your stuff is always a refreshing and enjoyable experience, so I can't wait for more.
Oh, thank you. In fact, I'm actually going to cheat. The moment you and I are done, I'm going to send you pages 12 through 16.
Ooh, okay. I'm sure the people are going to be jealous when they don't know what's going to happen in those pages, but I'm really excited to see that, so thanks so much.
Oh, they'll have to see the Kickstarter and get their own copies.
That's right, and that's another point I want to make before we wrap up, is the fact that just because you've met your goal doesn't mean it's time to slack off. We want to make sure that you get as much in there and get all your stretch goals possible so that all this goodness gets out to as many people as possible. So, man, keep it up, Jonathan. You're doing terrific.
Oh, thank you, Wayne. Thank you so much for having me.
Examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol,
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's a wrap for this episode. Until next time, keep reading your comics.